Good evening, folk. Welcome to Shift Church. Good evening if you're watching us live on Facebook on Wednesday evening. And good morning, good afternoon, and it's like the Truman Show.
Yes, we said that last week or the week before. It's like the Truman Show. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night if you're on the podcast.
That's the one if you're on the podcast, yes. I don't remember talking about it. Oh, my memory's going. I don't remember talking the Truman Show reference before. Anyway, it's Tim Carter here, vicar at All Saints in Wellington, hosting tonight's Shift Church. And I've got a couple of folk with me. I've got Emily. Say hello, Emily.
Hi to everybody at home.
And Lynn.
And hello to everybody there.
That's very good. And I suspect we will have people saying hello in the comments stream, as they say.
Yes, there's Charlotte Edwards and Liz and Sarah Cat.
Good.
And Ali Graham.
No.
Ooh, what's more?
Very good. So welcome to everybody, whether you're on the stream, listening to the podcast, walking the dog, whatever you're doing.
That wasn't me.
Sorry, what was that, Lynn?
I said that wasn't me.
What wasn't you?
The squeak.
I didn't hear a squeak. I'm going deaf as well as...
Okay.
It's my annoying... device, sorry, it's making ding bong sounds, but I have to keep it near because the prayers are on there.
No, that's all right. Don't worry.
Apologise.
Bing bong.
Hopefully, it won't go off during the prayers or
no, that would be
at times of reflection.
Do you remember Inside Out with Bing Bong?
No.
Nobody.
No. Finally, am I too young for this?
No, the film, the animated film, did you not watch it with Hannah? Or maybe Hannah was a bit young for it when it was out.
Oh, yeah, I have seen it. I just didn't love it. It's the one with Joy, isn't it? And the yeah. Braying and like she does all the marbles and stuff. Yeah.
Baffled.
Lynn is completely oblivious. Emily wasn't really a fan. I loved it. Well, there you go. It was sad in bits. And actually, having said towards the end of last week that whether people wanted to look at Lament again this week, having done it 3 weeks ago on Ash Wednesday, got bits of feedback saying people would like to have another look at it this evening. So we are going to be, our theme for this evening is thinking about Lament again. We're going to take a slightly different angle on it, so it won't be all the same. And if you've got reflections on it from 3 weeks ago that you've kind of been mudging on, do feel free to put them in the comments stream or email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org.
Do you know one thing about Inside Out as well that just struck me is that although Joy is the main character, at the end you discover that sadness is quite important as well, don't you? I seem to remember that all those emotions have a role, if that makes sense. So it fits quite well with us looking at Lament again. So, yeah.
That is
Sarah remembers the film, if it's any.
I didn't know that's where I was going when I first mentioned it, Emily, but as I mentioned it, I thought, yeah. So for those of you who are familiar with the film, sadness, as you'll know, does play a really important part. And actually, particularly, there's one bit where I think it's Joy is really... trying to remember which way around it is. Anyway, sadness, rather than trying to cheer this other person up, just comes and sits with her and is sad with her. And
that's
actually
right.
The key to her being able to deal with her sadness, which is what Lament is about. Actually, sometimes it's more important to sit with someone sadly in their sadness rather than try and fix it. We're done. So we'll finish now because... And if you haven't seen it, do go and see it. And I hope that isn't too much of a spoiler for you. But anyway, yes. So nice.
And there are some very happy moments in it too, as I seem to remember. So.
Oh, yeah. There's loads of really life-affirming, really good things in it. And some very, very funny things, particularly if you...
But this is not an advert for the movie, is it? So.
Particularly if you happen to be or have a slightly grumpy dad. There's one particularly very, very funny sequence. I'll leave that there. No spoilers. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. If you have seen it, go and watch it again. Anyway, but not now. Finish listening to the podcast or watching this. So anybody else saying hello yet, Lynn?
Sarah Cat, Sarah Parsons.
Hey, Sarah's.
It's been so far. Mind you, this is a bit behind us on screen, I think.
It very often is. Facebook's miles behind. And as I said last time we looked at Lament, just encourage you to be careful with yourself. If this is bringing up stuff for you that's painful and actually you're not in a place that you can deal with it tonight, no problem. I'm just ducking out. If you listen to the podcast, putting on pause, coming back to it when you can. That's absolutely fine. It's easier to do that online than in a real church building. So actually it's a benefit of this stuff. You can do it like this. We're going to start off with a psalm. This is a psalm of lament. It captures some of the difficult emotions we sometimes might want to express to God, but also some of the hope. So I'm going to see if the magic sherry screen thing will work. Here we go. Yes, it will. Here we go. Let's have a look at this.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food, day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God, under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for yet I will praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the lands of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love. At night His song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God.
Another psalm there from our friends at Manor Media. If you want to look up them on YouTube and have another listen, do feel free to do that. So that kind of sets the tone for us, thinking about those times when our soul is downcast, how we might want to talk to God about that. And we've got some Bible readings. Who's reading first tonight?
I've got the Luke one.
There you go. Emily, over to you first then. What are we looking at?
Okay, so I've got Psalm 44. So the Psalms are in sort of the middle of your Bible, if you're trying to find it. So Psalm 44, verses 13 to 26, so about halfway down. This is one of the Psalms that was written, I guess, to be sung in the Jewish temples. Because it says at the top of mine, for the choir director, a psalm for the descendants of Korah, which was kind of like they were the tribe that were like in charge of worship in the Jewish temples, I think. Tim will correct me if I get it wrong. So I was looking up a little bit about it, and it said this is like a psalm of national lament. So in a season of great defeat. So that sort of sets it for you. So it's Psalm 44, verses 13 to 26. You let our neighbours mock us. We are an object of scorn and derision to those around us. You have made us the butt of their jokes. They shake their heads at us and scorn at us. We can't escape their constant humiliation. Shame is written across our faces. All we hear are the taunts of our mockers, and all we see are our vengeful enemies. All this has happened, though we have not forgotten you. We have not violated your covenant. Our hearts have not deserted you. We have not strayed from your path. Yet you have crushed us in the jackal's desert home. You have covered us with darkness and death. If we have forgotten the name of our God or spread our hands in prayer to foreign gods, God surely would have known it, for he knows the secrets of every heart. But for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Wake up, O Lord. Why do you sleep? Get up. Do not reject us forever. Why do you look the other way? Why do you ignore our suffering and oppression? We collapse in the dust, lying face down in the dirt. Rise up, help us. Ransom us because of your unfailing love.
I love the last bit of that psalm. Come on, Lord.
They're quite strong words, aren't they? They're really like, you know, challenging him, which I guess is how we all feel sometimes.
Yeah. I love that they're actually in the Bible. It's not all namby-pamby, kind of almost given permission to pray it ourselves. Come on, Lord.
It's not soft-hearted a lot in the Bible, is it? You can feel real anger in this prayer, I think, and real frustration at the situation.
Yeah. What have you got for us, Lynn?
Whoops. Sorry, dropping a piece of paper there. I have got Luke 19. Verse 41 to 44, I think it was. And this is Jesus is travelling towards Jerusalem. Oh, hang on, that can't be right.
What's wrong?
Have I got the right?
Yeah,
right. 16, starting at 30, 41. 41.
Yeah.
Wondering whether I've got the right. Then Jesus came closer and could see Jerusalem. He wept and said, "Today your people don't know what will bring them peace. Now it is hidden from them. Jerusalem, the time will come when your enemies will build walls around you to attack you. Armies will surround you and close in on you from every side. They will level you to the ground and kill your people. Not one stone in your buildings will be left on top of another. This will happen because you did not see that God had come to save you."
Yep, that's the one.
Tough words.
Jesus weeping over Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So we've got a guest speaker tonight. We've got some thoughts from Margaret on those passages and on lament. So we're going to listen to that, watch that, those of us on the stream, and then have a chat about it afterwards. And if you've got comments and questions as Margaret talks, then do put them on the stream. We'll pick them up afterwards. So I've just got to do this.
Today our theme is that of lament, which I believe is very appropriate in the season that we're in. So what is lament? What is a dictionary definition? Well, it says utter grief in outcries, to wail or mourn, sorrow expressed in cries, elegy or dirge, musical composition of a like character. And both our readings have lament in them. So The first bit of Psalm 44, the bit that we read, the psalmist is puzzled. It's puzzled by what has happened, why God has allowed this to happen to them. It just, to him, it just didn't make sense. And I wonder whether you have ever, in this season, ever felt, God, where are you? Why are you letting this happen? Why are there so many people it being affected by this virus? Why? And feeling that God's just deserted us, has left us. So I just want to go back to look at the beginning of the psalm, to put in a bit of context. The psalmist is a man of great faith, and he acknowledges at the beginning of the psalm that it was through God that they had conquered the land. It was God that had won the victories from. He says, "We've heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. And you have given victory over enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long. We'll praise your name forever." But then, of course, he then goes on. "But you've rejected and humbled us. No longer out with our armies." Wow. A real sense of God letting them down. I wonder if you've ever felt like that, that perhaps you've been praying about things and things just don't go right. And it's, you see a disaster unfolding. And I believe we have to be willing to admit that God is sovereign, that he's got the whole picture, that we've only got a tiny part of it. So there's this real outpouring from the heart, this lamenting in the bit that we read. "You've made us a reproach to our neighbours. You've made us a byword among the nations. I live in disgrace all day long." And you can just hear the pain of this and the perplexity and the not understanding of it. And then this sort of self-justification in a way. "All this came upon us, though we'd not forgotten you. Our hearts have not turned back, but you crushed us." And I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Lord, what are you doing? Why have you done it? And then we have verse 22. "Yet for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." And this made me very much think of the present day situation of Christians in many parts of the world who are slaughtered for their faith. Who, because they say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe he loves me. I believe he died on the cross for me to put me right with God. I believe," are actually slaughtered or persecuted. And I'm sure at times they must feel, "Where is God? Where is he?" But I know I felt like that. When I was at college, I'd had to leave my beloved cat at home, and he died. And I felt that God was jumping on me. I was on the floor and he was jumping on me with his hobnail boots, because I felt I'd given up so much to go to college to train for ministry. And he'd taken away, if you like, one thing which was very important to me, which I was sad at having to leave behind. And one of the tutors at college said to me, "Have you told God how you feel?" Oh, can't do that. And she said, "Well, don't you think he knows how you feel?" Well, of course, yes, I had to perhaps acknowledge that. And so in the end, I was able to express how I felt God had treated me. And I've realised now it was a lament. I didn't think about it as a lament at the time. But by actually, if you like, shouting at God, it helped me to begin to move on, because it helped to release some of the pain and the grief. And I believe that's what the point of lament is. It enables us to let go of these feelings and be able to move forward. And lament is a very important thing. So keeping in mind that reading, I want us to go on to the gospel reading, when we have Jesus crying over the temple. And it's so hard. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. I wonder if you ever thought about how hard it must have been for Jesus. He comes, if you like, with God's rescue plan. And the people who had been God's special people, so many of them rejected him. And particularly the religious leaders. They poured scorn on him. And of course, they send him to his death. But it was actually, this section was very poignant because immediately before it comes, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where the people say, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Wow. So a very high point, and Jesus moves on, approaching Jerusalem, and he just weeps over it. "If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side." They'd always thought that, really, that the temple, even though we see in the Old Testament how it was taken and broken, but they'd always felt that it was special because it was God's place, that it would be all right. And they weren't willing to acknowledge that things were wrong in their lives. And Jesus is crying over it because he can see what's going to happen. And the pain of that must have been immense, knowing that if only the people had turned to him, that this would have been avoided. And it's so sad. We're now in Lent, a time of preparation for the greatest event in history, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. He gave his life to save the world, to save you and I. So it made me think about how much do we lament our sins and the sins of the world, because we're involved in the world. Do we lament them? Do we, on a personal level, stop and think, not realising how we can hurt people by carelessness, by lack of concern, by resentment, and all sorts of little things? And what about corporate sin, a world spinning out of control, climate change, and many other things? Some of you possibly know that I volunteer at our local National Trust place, Attingham Park. One of the roles I do is that of a litter pick in the extensive grounds, which I, strangely enough, enjoy. I don't mind picking up the small bits, little bits of sweet paper, probably dropped unknowingly. But the interesting thing about it is that the vast majority of that sort of paper is shiny, so it's very easy to see. But that, I believe, can perhaps pull out of someone's pocket and they don't notice it. But then I do get annoyed at the coffee cups that are left, the poo bags, paper handkerchief, etc., which I feel are big enough for the people to, well, they just couldn't be bothered to carry their litter home. And it then made me think of our sins in relation to God. Do we excuse what we can see as little ones? Well, no one knows, I don't hurt anyone, etc. Are we forgetting that God does know, and that even our little sins hurt God? And all our sins, big or small, spoils our relationship with God and disfigures our world. Do we really accept in our heart of hearts what Paul says in Romans 3? "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Do we lament that? When we're saying the confession, are we really lamenting it, or are we just letting it roll over us? Do we really realise how hurt God is when we sin? Believe in really lamenting, we're acknowledging our shortcomings before God, and God comes to meet us because that's the whole thing of the cross, isn't it? And he helps us through his Holy Spirit to help us to change, providing we're willing to. And a verse that I think is a very important one, again from Romans, but this time chapter 12, Paul says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will." I pray that we will learn to use lament as part of our daily prayer pattern, but also when things are difficult and things seem to be going wrong, to use lament to cry out to God about it. Use the Psalms of lament to help express your feelings. And I believe that, as I've already said, that it enables us in our despair to draw closer to God, who at times can seem so remote, and also helps us to move on through our pain and our grief and our despair. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of lament. Help us to realise, Lord, that we can cry out to you. We can shout at you because you are there accepting it. And on the cross, Jesus took our sin. So Lord, we come to you thanking you for the gift of lament, and help us use, Lord, to use it more and more so that we can draw closer and closer to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So there we go. Some further thoughts on lament there from Margaret, a bit different to what we were looking at on Ash Wednesday 3 weeks ago. So guys, what struck you from what Margaret was saying, or what was in the scriptures readings?
I think when I was preparing the reading, the one I read, mm-hmm. It struck me that, how's lament different from other things? And I was thinking, well, it's often a lament, as Jesus was weeping, for a place or a people's, or a time, you know. And then as Margaret was speaking, I thought, lament can be very physical, because sometimes you think, oh, it's just words, form of words. But no, Jesus wept. And as Margaret was saying, it's okay if your lament is to God, sort of to scream and to shout and get angry at God and to write it down. Some people, you know, express it better written down. But it's okay to do those things and be all of that. And as one you read, sort of, wake up, Jesus, wake up. That's how you feel. It's okay.
Yeah, it's not something that comes very naturally to me, I'm going to be honest. I'm very good at weeping, you know, and crying and feeling sad, but actually getting angry about things, I think that was something maybe I left behind in my 20s. And as I went into my 30s, I just don't get angry about stuff anymore. I'm kind of like, that's what happens. Do you know what I mean? And it's something that I struggle with, I think. Just like, I don't know why. I think I've just at times just, I think I found anger quite destructive in the past, you know, expressing it at other people and in places. My family are probably laughing because I am quite an explosive person with certain people, I find it quite a destructive emotion. So the idea of expressing that to God, you know, is quite a difficult thing, I guess, when it's something that you tend to cage. I don't know. So it's something I really struggle with. Before we started, I looked, because I'd done this course a couple of years ago called the Weekly Prayer Project, and I was like, oh, there's a whole chapter on there on lament. So I know I've personally explored this before. And I read it and I went, didn't write very much on that week then, did I? And I was like, didn't write very much on that month at all. So it's clearly something that I personally struggle with. And I think, something that, you know, I don't know, some people might be really comfortable with it. I find it quite difficult. So,
I suppose I was a bit the same. I've redhead and had the typical hot temper, but obviously over years, I suppose I've calmed down a lot. But I did have a period when I suppose I was angry at God, and I suppose I kept a journal. I couldn't do too much physically expressing it, but my way of physically expressing it at the time was to write a journal. And I would tell God how mad I was with him.
I found as well, like sometimes the Holy Spirit is actually the unlocker of these emotions for me. Mm. So like it can be, and particularly in my 30s, it's been the unlocker, because I like to cage them. So it's been something that, you know, maybe on my way to church, or, you know, when I've been talking to God, he'll unlock those feelings. And it's quite emotional and scary when that happens. And particularly if you're new to Christianity, that can be quite a scary thing, because God can unlock these emotions inside us that we didn't even know that we were feeling angry or sad or particularly, you know, had such strong feelings for. But when he does that, he really wants us to cry out to him, I think, and express them, if that makes sense. And that's his way of doing it. So, yeah.
I wonder if there's a whole load of stuff there, isn't there? This kind of, this aspect of anger within lament. Because you're right, mm. sometimes expressing anger, well, it can be destructive to other people. And actually, if we focus on the anger, and it can be destructive to ourselves as well. Mm. But there is a kind of, I do think there's a way of being angry about things that we ought to be angry about, and expressing that to God, and actually to other people as well.
It's righteous anger, isn't it? You know.
Well, there is such a thing. But I'm like you, Emily. I find the emotion of anger, I find being angry really scary and I don't know if there are people who enjoy being angry. Maybe there are, but I really don't like it. So yeah, that aspect of lament, I struggle with it. Yeah, I don't find comfortable.
But equally, like you said, there are some things that we should get really angry about. I mean,
I think it's okay to be angry at injustice. It's okay to be angry when people are killed for no reason.
Well, funnily enough, when she was talking, the image popped into my brain, because I'm quite an image person, of that came up on my social media today. Or maybe it was on the BBC website, I'm not sure. But it was of the nun, and I don't know if you've seen it, but she falls on her knees in front of the, in Burma, she's a Burmese nun, and she's there in front, on her knees, in front of soldiers, and two of the soldiers are also praying, you know, just put their hands together and fall as well. And she, the story is about her standing in front of the protesters. Now, I didn't actually read the whole story, so I have no idea what they were protesting about. But to me, it was just an expression of how the storyline was. The woman was saying something like, please don't kill our children, you know what I mean? Mm. And it was just an expression of real, I don't know, realness really, and bravery and lament and perhaps even anger at the situation, you know, to step in front of that situation and just open yourself out. But that popped into my mind as like
strangely enough, I'd heard this referred to on a Christian climate action thread, and I didn't know what it was about at the time, but yes, they were sort of saying, well, we should be doing the same, sort of praying in front of protesters. Liz makes a good comment on the stream. Liz Carter, I really relate to that, Emmy, about the Holy Spirit unlocking emotions. Sometimes just sitting listening to a worship song or song of lament, and these emotions come pouring out. I didn't even know were there. And God is doing some healing through that time. Not even necessarily something I can put a name to, but something deep down.
Yep.
And I think not always when you're expressing it possibly are you angry at God? Maybe it's just the situation or the what's happening. Or, you know, it'd be great if as Christians life was easy, you know, we didn't have these times where we feel like we really have to rage against it, if that makes sense. Or we're not struggling, but life isn't like that, is it? It's quite messy, actually.
Sean says, you can't be mad at, you can't be angry with God, or can you?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Well, I think the honest answer is, I don't think it's possible to believe in God and not be angry with God at some point.
Yes, yes, I think you can. He knows us. He knows us, what we are.
It's how you express it and what you do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you can't live in a house with, I mean, maybe you can. Occasionally I do funerals and families tell me that granddad never said a cross word in his life, and that makes him a much better person than I am, because I know that I do. I don't know that I know anybody who's never said a cross word, but maybe people do.
I think as well, if we think of ourselves in relationship with God, it just strikes me, if you are having a hard time and you are pretty angry with him about something, isn't it healthier to express that?
It is, it is.
Because that's part of a relationship, rather than not having that conversation, because then it could actually cut you off and then you wouldn't be able to move forward, if that makes sense. And certainly I know, I haven't experienced personally, but I know other Christians have talked about how they, when they've been really angry with God, they haven't been able to have a relationship with him. Do you know what I mean? It's been, they've had to take that time because they weren't able maybe to express that answer,
yeah,
anger, or move past it. And I guess expressing it, maybe if that would help.
Yeah, and I think I've been reflecting on this a bit, because we talked about this a lot on Ash Wednesday and then we talk about it tonight, and I was reflecting back on my own experiences of lament. And the kind of experiment, or the kind of exercise we did last time about writing our own psalm of lament, which I've done before, it all feels a bit intellectual and a bit kind of forced when I'm not actually feeling those feelings. But there have been times in my life where, just because of life, I've just broken down in church, just in sobbing. And so there have been times of lament in my, where the emotions have just overtaken me. And it's almost like, if we can talk about lament when we're not feeling that way, it gives us resources for when we are. Does that make any sense? So some of us tonight will be thinking, well, we will be in that place, and I'm hoping this is helping you kind of untangle a little bit of what you're feeling. But for many of us, we won't necessarily be in that place. But talking about and thinking about it means that when we are in that place, we've got some resources and some things in place to help us process it. Does that make any sense?
I think that's very true, because from somebody who experiences the Holy Spirit unlocking their emotions, it can feel quite scary, because they're things you don't necessarily want to feel. But I think, like you said, if you remember that this is a process or a conversation and God's probably doing that for a reason, that can help you process it and be in that moment and be okay with being that authentic, I guess.
We have got a worked example of this. So we've got, and it builds a little bit on what Lynn was saying about lamenting climate change, and it's kind of one person's outworking of some of their emotions and feelings and lament over what's going on in the world. It's another bit of video. I'm going to play it. It's just as an example of how we might want to process either that, or we might find it helpful to kind of use that model as a way of processing our emotions in other circumstances as well. So I'm just going to hold on. Yes, I am going to be able to do this. Here we go. This is going to take me a little minute, because I've got to open it as well, but I can do that. And if you've got any comments or questions about this, do feel free to stick them on the comment stream or send us an email. Here we go. Thank you.
Father of creation, God of compassion, you created a world of wonder, of possibility and potential. You declared it to be good. For this we give thanks. To you be praise, honour and glory. For this we give thanks. To you be praise, honour and glory. Father of creation, God of compassion, this world is no longer as you intended it to be. Humanity has betrayed its calling to tend and keep. Creation groans. For this we weep. Lord, have mercy. For this we mourn. Christ, have mercy. On our watch, we reap what we have sown. On our watch, sea levels rise. For this we weep. Lord, have mercy. For this we mourn. Christ, have mercy. On our watch, forests destroyed. On our watch, locusts swarm. For this we weep. Lord, have mercy. For this we mourn. Christ, have mercy. And so now, with tears in our eyes, we look to you. With regret, with repentance, knowing the difficult decades that we face. As temperatures rise, extinctions increase, as we come to terms with our own existential plight. For our children, Lord, have mercy. For our grandchildren, Christ, have mercy. For the world's most vulnerable, Christ, have mercy. Father of creation, God of compassion, wake us from our slumber. Equip us afresh to be the justice-shaped people of God. Father of creation, God of compassion, wake us from our slumber. Equip us afresh to our priestly and prophetic calling. That we would speak truth in a culture of denial. That we would enact hope in a culture of despair. That we would face what will be with love-filled action. That in humanity's darkest hour, you would enliven us so. We would bandage the wounds of those caught beneath the wheels of climate injustice. That in humanity's darkest hour, we would have the courage to drive a spoke into the wheel of climate injustice itself. Father of creation, God of compassion, you created a world of wonder, of possibility and potential. You declared it to be good. In our grief, in our mourning, we give thanks. To you be praise, honour and glory. Amen.
Amen. So, in a moment, I think Emmy's going to lead us in some prayer. Is that right?
I am, yeah. I'm not very good at writing my own prayers, so I've pinched a prayer on lament, and it's a prayer of lament and time of prayer of lament and praise in a time of the coronavirus, from actually the Methodist Church's website. So, and it's written by the Reverend Keith Howcroft. So I was going to read that, but it fits very well with this sort of Psalm 44, sort of a prayer for a national lament in this season that we're feeling. So it's very much the same pattern.
So, yeah, just before we get to that, it just got me just listening to that thing about the climate injustice. I was just thinking about the practical expression of lament. So it's kind of all very well sitting around shouting at God and being sad. But is it true to say that the kind of actions coming out of that have to be part of the lament, or are they something different?
I think it's all interlinked. As I was saying before, lament can be physical. It's like your belief engages all parts of you, your emotions, your heart, your head, and what you feel. So you can shout and scream at the wrongdoer, as Margaret said, whether it be that some corporate person, or the government, or yourself, or somebody else. You can shout and scream if you feel that injustice is being done to you or to the world or to somebody else. And that's part of the lament.
Yeah.
I would just add to that as well. The Bible all the way through also tells us to take action.
Yeah.
So I think like the climate change, if there is action that you can personally do to make a difference, I mean, and we know that we can make small differences in our lives, which can make a huge difference in terms of the climate situation, then we're asked to do that. And that's mirrored throughout the Bible, you know, whether it's in the season of lament or the season in love. Do you know what I mean? We're asked not only to have those feelings, but to put them into action, you know, to try and to be God's hands in the world, to try and make a difference.
You've got to walk the talk.
That's it. Weight is way harder.
It is.
So, yeah.
And there's a whole load of justice ministries that the church is involved in. So whatever's on our heart, almost, there's something we can do about it. So Lynn's heading up a kind of eco church action group at the moment. We got CAP Debt Centre that we work with. So if kind of poverty and debt is on your heart, we've got opportunities to work there. Not so much at the moment, but when street pastors can get out, we've got folk in the street pastors team, folk whose kind of lament is over the way in which our young people are like sheep without a shepherd. We're involved in food banks and homeless charities. So there's kind of loads of opportunities. If we feel like our lament is driving us to want practical expression of those things, put a comment on the comment stream, we'll put you in touch, drop me an email, and we can put you in touch with opportunities to express that lament practically.
Yeah.
Other stuff we can do. Good. Okay. Anything else coming on the comment stream we need to pick up before we go into prayer?
Oops, yes. No, there was the last thing I got was we're talking about emotions still. I haven't had anything since the prayer, the video about the prayer.
That's okay. That's okay. So if you've got prayer requests, do put them on the stream. Emmy will lead us in this prayer, and then we'll have a bit of just time to pray and pick up some prayers from the comment stream. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think the prayer comes in like four parts. So I will leave a little bit of space if people want to say something and express it. But if they don't, you know, that's fine. I'll just move on to the next one because of the shape of it. You might not want to, it's quite angry at the beginning, so you might not want to feel that way. But if you want to put something in the comment stream, you know, quite often it asks questions. So, you know, like, why has this happened? And what has that happened? You know, put them in the comment stream, or say them out loud, you know, as you're praying. That's totally okay to express how you may be feeling about this. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How shall we praise you, Lord our God, when we are locked down? How shall we praise you when the doors to your house are barred and your people cannot assemble? When those desperately in need of money and work cannot even wait in the marketplace? When we have to circle around people in the street and to queue for shops, maintaining a safe distance? When we can only communicate by hearing on the phone or seeing on the screen or digitally messaging or waving through a window? We cannot meet our parents and children, our grandparents and grandchildren, or other family members and friends. When we cannot touch them in the flesh and blood to know that they are really alive. How shall we praise you? How, like Thomas, shall we not see yet believe that your son is raised among us? How shall we praise you? How can I praise you, Lord? Are you plaguing us with this virus to punish us because we've done wrong, or thought wrongly, or felt wrongly, or just been wrong? If so, why do some die? And those apparently the vulnerable, the most caring among us? Are you trying to teach us a lesson? If so, why is it so hard to learn? And how do we find the answer when we don't even know the question? Or are you the same loving God, coming to us in our suffering and opening up the way to new life in Jesus? Lord, I will try to praise you. Through gritted teeth, I will try to praise you. I will try to remember that you have created all things and that this virus is part of your creation. I will not try to hate it, but seek to mitigate its harm. I will try to keep myself and others safe. And I will work to pray for them and to seek to help in whatever way I can. Lord, when I cannot pray or worship, help me be aware of all your people and your saints and angels hovering around me, lifting me up. When I feel alone, let me feel you near me, even if it's only for a moment, that enables me to go on. Let me hear you say, peace be with you. Lord, I will praise you. Let all peoples praise you. Amen.
Oh, man. Yeah, Father, I pray particularly for those who are feeling lonely tonight, isolated and bereft, cut off. I pray that they will know you close with them, holding them tight. Amen.
Lord, I thank you that we can be real in front of you, for the authenticity that you allow us. I pray that those emotions that are stirred in our hearts, that we'll be able to express them to you, but also take action in those areas, so put them to practical use. Amen.
We pray for our town, our country, our world, and really meant, Lord, that we do not listen to you. And we think of places like Syria, where there is no stone left upon another. And we pray for all the effects of war and climate change, people leaving their countries, people not wanting to go back to their countries because there is nothing left. And we are sorry, Lord, that we, your people, have done this to each other. And we have been foolish and stupid and not followed your law. And this is what happens. I really meant, Lord, that this is the state of the world. And we beg for your wisdom for world leaders. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Sean says, thanks, Emmy. Real prayers from a hurting nation.
Yeah.
Well, they're obviously not my words, as I said.
They were very good.
On the website, but they
were very good.
But certainly they come from the Lord, don't they? So I think he already knows.
From the heart, I think. And that's the important thing.
Yeah, really good. Thank you, Emmy. Right, we're coming towards the end. Of this Shift Church, wherever you are, whether you're with us tonight or whether you're, as I say, listening on the podcast or catching up on the video later. Next week, we are thinking.
What's next week?
Oh, gosh.
Let's get excited about it, Tim.
That was scary. Next week, we're thinking about generosity.
Oh.
Oh, if you've got any questions about generosity or thoughts about generosity that you'd like to put into the pot early, you can do email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Or if you've got further comments or questions about lament, you can pick those up at the beginning of next week. If we get some emails in, we will do. We don't get very often get emails at the moment, but that's all right. If you'd like to, do join in. And I don't even know who's on next week.
I don't think it's me. I think it's somebody else.
Anyway,
it's different. If anybody's noticed, they've changed the pattern. So it won't be me and Lynn next week. It'll be somebody else. But I guess me and Lynn will join in on the comments, hopefully, or join you during the week because we might listen to it as a podcast because it is available as podcast as well, isn't it, Tim?
It is indeed. That's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to do all the... That's the next thing. It's exciting. Liz makes me cocoa and I get on with sorting out the recording and uploading the podcast and everything. It's all going the vicarage, you know.
The life of a vicar.
Well, like a digital vicar.
Yeah, it was going to be when I went to college. Anyway.
Yeah, you didn't cover this. It wasn't covered, was it?
Right.
We need an advanced degree in electronics now.
No, that was my first degree.
I don't
really got one of those, unfortunately.
Liz says she's getting the cocoa on for you, so...
Very good. Thumbs up to her. Well, everybody go and enjoy their hot chocolate. Lovely to see you. Say goodbye, Emily.
Goodbye, everybody.
Say goodbye, Lynn.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye, everybody. Good night. God bless.
God bless.